Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today, we're talking about My Choice, Origin, Spirits of the Past, which you had pointed this out, Rick, before we started recording, that this was not one of my better choices, to which I have to admit, it was not a great choice, but it was not my choice, as 90% of mine are not chosen by me. So I at least That's have that right. to fall back That's on.
Right. Yeah. We call that a convenient excuse. I didn't do it. The machine made me.
Well, the machine made us in this case.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Okay. So the producer for this was GDH and Asahi Broadcasting, and the studio for it was Gonzo, which also was a producer of it, too.
Yeah, aside from Gonzo, I don't recognize the other two.
GDH, yeah. They've done Rosario Vampire, Black Cat, Romeo, Juliet, Last Exile.
That makes so much sense as far as the animation quality goes.
It was a movie, it ran for about an hour and a half, maybe a little bit longer than an hour and a half, came out in 2006. It was a original movie, so it had no source material or anything like that, which was pretty nice when they come out with something original, I think, anyways.
I'm impressed by that. Yeah, no, the story itself did feel genuine and original, which you don't necessarily find too much of nowadays.
Yeah. However, the premise of it, I mean, is kind of there. It is what it is. It takes place in the future, 300 years, or they don't know how long in the future. However, how the world gets destroyed is another story entirely.
Yeah. It's a new take. I like it. I like the premise. It was for what it was, a post-apocalyptic movie. And I thought it had potential. And for the most part, it was very predictable and it lived up to exactly what I was expecting, which I'm not happy about, but at the same time, it's not a drawback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get exactly what you mean. For me as well, it was honestly a little bit better than what I was expecting. I was expecting a total flop. It really didn't seem like it would be that great of a movie. The genres for it are adventure, drama, fantasy, romance, and sci-fi, which about that entire mix just kind of made me really kind of hesitant on watching it. But after I started watching it and got just powered through it, so to speak, I really wasn't that disappointed in it. It was adequate for what it was, but it could have been so much better.
Yeah, romance should be taken out of that because romance was not part of really any of it.
I would say the romance portion of it would be more chalked up to the fact that he is a stalker to the extreme, but also saves her. And by him, I'm saying Agito. And by her, I'm saying Tula, the two main protagonists in this.
And if you by any chance missed what her name was at first, I'm sure they'll tell you at least another 100,000 times.
Half,
by screaming her name. Yeah, half the dialogue. I agree.
half the dialogue, half Agito's dialogue is him just screaming out Tula. And that's it. I was like, was he saying Tula or Tula? Tula.
Yeah.
Like half his dialogue was just that. I mean, like you didn't have to be that great of a voice actor. So apparently they just needed someone to just, that would be willing to yell out Tula half the time for no reason whatsoever.
Well, a really short overview of the story without giving too much away, because we'll get into this, is essentially 300 years in the future. I'm assuming 300 because you said it and it feels right. The forest took over the world and they are now living in a post-apocalyptic world where they are surviving, not thriving, but surviving in conjunction and alongside with the forest, who has its own people, like the druids sort of, and it's a really uneven balance. Tula is from the past. She was put in stasis by somebody and she's woken up, and now she, for some reason, is the key to saving or destroying the world.
not so much destroying or saving the world. It's more along the lines of she is the key to restoring the world to the way it was before, or leaving how it is now. So how the forest actually came about being destroyed, destroying the earth anyways, I think is really interesting, because the moon absolutely gets decimated in this too. It's because we've actually, and I think this is like a future anime that takes place in the future that also takes place in a post-apocalyptic future. Because one, we don't have a colony on the moon with forests in it where we're doing genetic splicing for this. We also don't have giant ring collars around our necks or wrists or anything else that can only be used by us. That is not only a killer map, but a cell phone and God knows what, a key and everything else.
I don't know, man. We've got this Apple Pay thing where we only need the phone to pay for stuff. We've got a new phone that has bendable glass. All you gotta do is make a really kick-ass collar with it. I mean, it's all here.
It's not even bendable glass. I mean, like how that collar is for her anyways, for Tula, is it's a hologram and it just appears. And then it flips out and sideways, and then you have a couple holograms that are being projected there on half the ring, I guess, in an S form.
I can't even try to continue with the facade of, we have the technology, we can build it. Because no, we don't. It's so weird. When the necklace is taken off, it's a key. When it's not a key, it's turned into a navigation device. When it's not turned into a navigation device, it turns into a really weird looking S that can be used as a cellular thing, which, okay, got a question about that. The one time,
I know exactly what you're going to say. She calls out, and the one time that she gets that call back, someone else grabs the phone, and since it's not Tula, she's not able to pick it up and answer it. It's like, you have like no missed calls in the future? Like there is no call logs right in the future? Like you can't just like pick it up and go, oh, I know someone was calling me. Instead, Tula's exact remark was, someone could have been trying to contact me. Well,
my question with that is, obviously someone was trying to. Now, I do have two main questions. Number one was just like yours. Isn't there a call log? Isn't there a history? There's got to be a history. There's got to be something to show what just happened.
Yeah.
And two, who the heck is calling her? Because the only other necklaces we see are broken.
And they can't be used by anyone else other than the person they're meant for.
Yeah.
That, like Tula even says that. She even says, it can't be used by anyone else other than me because of how the Ray-Bans are designed or whatever she calls them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like you said Ray-Bans. I'm like, no, they're not glasses. They're necklaces. But yeah, no, it's there's a few different thought provoking situations that happens with certain technologies that you're like, didn't that not work a second ago and now it's working? Or didn't it work a second ago and now all of a sudden nothing works?
Yeah.
And what I thought was kind of cool, actually more than just kind of really cool, was the idea that the forest was sentient, was almost like I don't know, a forced evolution, if you will.
Shunak, he's the one that actually, who's the main, one of the main bad guy, and I use that term loosely, enhanced the forest's dominant genes, which ended up making it super aggressive and act or look like dragons when it's attacking. And it destroyed part of the earth, or not the earth, but destroyed the moon and went towards the earth and attacked the earth. And that's where we're at today. Well, in the future.
I can only assume that the way that they did things with the dominant gene was maybe it was a dominant growth gene or a dominant adaptation gene, because they were doing weird stuff in outer space with zero gravity. So... And yeah, they came down looking like dragons, looking like sentient dragons, which I thought was quite interesting. A nice, I don't know if it was an artistic choice or if it was meant to insinuate that the farther you, when you push plants to their evolutionary extreme, they result in sentient ideals, I guess, sentient things that can nuke apparently Earth with plants.
Yeah, you know, and absolutely have no issues or problems doing it. But also at the same time, create these Zurids, I think is what they called them, beings.
And I thought they were druids.
Well, they said Zurids, I thought.
Zurids.
I mean,
I watched the English version, unfortunately, so I could be mistaken. It could just be a bad translation. One of the coolest things I thought about the whole thing was the fact that the forest almost seemed like it wanted to be symbiotic, like it wanted to strike a balance, because if you offered yourself up to the forest, it gave you supernaturally enhanced abilities. The problem is, at the very end, you would essentially turn into a tree.
Depending on how much of the forest's power you drew upon, which means you could become Superman at the cost of becoming a tree.
Of becoming the super tree.
Which is something that happens to Agito's father. He even comments saying that he used too much of the tree's power greedily, and thus he became a tree, or he could not revert himself anymore. But you had two other individuals as well, aside from Shunek, who became enhanced, was Yolda and Hajan, which were basically two of the other founders for the city that Agito is from. And they're enhanced, but they're perfectly fine because they didn't use the force power greedily.
Or at all. Like there's only one instance where you see any actual, I guess, superpowered use. And the woman decides to be the mayor, I guess, of her city, of her town, of her, I don't know what you want to call it. Neutral city is what they named it.
Indeed.
And you never, I don't know, can you enhance your mental capacity? Would that be possible? I didn't see anything that says you couldn't.
Yeah, well, I know that they draw partially upon the forest in general. So I know that they're able to have some kind of communication with it and have a symbiotic relationship with it, I would assume. But also at the same time, here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you stop aging at that point?
That would be kind of crazy to think about, but it might be the case, because you don't really see people who are not physically fit take part in the tree's power. Much to the contrary, Agito goes from this very little toned person. Agito goes from this person with little tone definition before he makes an agreement to take the power of the forest to this completely ripped individual, the physical peak of what his body can perform at.
I would say even beyond that, because no natural human body can withstand a cannon at point blank and go, oh
yeah, take it to the face and not realize. Yeah.
Yeah, it's by any stretch of the imagination, he gets flung off a cliff, lands face first on a rock, gets up, wipes off dust, goes, huh, that's pretty interesting, gets bombarded by rocks, and then karate chops a tank in half, basically.
Yeah, solid gold. Great A writing right there, great A animation. Well, the animation was actually pretty good.
Animation was great. The premise behind the story was great. Really good. I thought it was a really good premise for the story. It was unique. It was definitely never had been done before, at least from what I had seen, in terms of a post-apocalyptic future. They also never really explained how or why the pods were there that Atula was in. So she was in this stay field pod, is what they called it. They'd never specified why all the other people died that were in that pod, because you saw a whole bunch of other dead bodies in there.
Yeah, that was weird.
But you also don't know how many other pods there were in general.
Well, we do know that there was at least one other person from the past who woke up. And I would argue that it's not an uncommon thing, only because the mayor of that town was like, are you from the past as well? Just like it was a normal thing to happen. Well, like every so often.
Because they had one other person that showed up, which was Shunak. He arrived 5 years earlier.
That's the evidence that we have. I would argue that it actually happened before that in the mayor's lifetime, only because
well, the mayor even said, and Yolda is the mayor's name, even said that they had one other person that appeared from the past before 5 years prior.
Okay. You kind of got me on that one. I was just thinking that I think that what did you call Yolda?
Yeah.
So Yolda, I would argue that she's older than she looks. I do believe the aging process did stop, because if she was one of the three original founders of that town, they did a lot of work in a very short amount of time, including having kids. And I imagine 5 years ago, when the first person woke up from the past, it was not a fledgling town or a city. And the kids obviously might have only been either super, super small children or not there yet, which leads me to assume it's at least one generation deep as far as time goes.
No, I would say that it's been a few years and Agito's father used the power aggressively like they were saying. And the reason why I say this is because when Agito is remembering a past where his father was there before he became enhanced, he was still a child and they hadn't started the city yet.
Okay. I don't like that idea, but it makes a weird amount of sense.
Which would be why that his father was the only one that became infected. A lot of work, exerted a lot of the forest's power, which caused him to become a tree in the end. But I do agree that there are other people that have come back, because when you look at Shunak at his right arm, you see at least, I want to say, six other collars on his arm.
At minimum, yeah. And that's only the arm we can see. Now, it makes me kind of wonder, did he take them off the corpses that were there? Because I could have sworn when we were looking, we saw collars around the dead bodies.
I don't remember seeing them around all the dead bodies, but also not all of them have collars around the necks. You apparently can have it around your wrist or your neck, or I would assume any other part of the body that you want. But
that makes sense.
Because if you remember, again, Tula was remembering her past, and her friend had a collar around her wrist.
Speaking of stuff around the wrist, what was up with the design choice for having belts for bracelets?
I don't question the powers that be, especially when it comes to the enhanced individual Agito. When he wants to wear bracelets and or have belts as bracelets, I let it ride, especially for his necklace too. So he's got a belt for his neck, a belt for each wrist, and that's just how he rolls, wearing a
tank top. That is the Broly. That is the Broly version, because they're just holding back his power. It's just too immense,
too powerful, too much.
Yeah, because if you'll notice, like, maybe they did it to signify who he was when he turned into a tree, because in the climax of the movie, he basically purposefully turns himself into a tree to kill and or contain the other person from the past.
Yeah.
And you know he turned into the tree because the tree has a bracelet, has a belt wrapped around a branch, and you're like, oh, that's where his wrist was.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, it really was a little, I'm going to say weird. Weird doesn't quite cut it. But basically, he is told by the forest, through being connected with the forest, that he must guide humanity to a coexistence, was it? Or what did they say?
Codependency, because they were saying that people come from the forest and the forest thrives when the people help. And I guess I could see that, because the druids that were there were kind of like, hey, we'll give you water in return for some unknown service you provide us, because we haven't really shown that part or talked about it even.
Yeah.
But so also going back to the Force, what was up with that chick? The twin chicks. It was weird. The two that were one, the two halves of a whole. You know what I'm talking about?
I would assume that they're probably the original life form that inhabited the Earth after they destroyed the moon and invaded Earth. And then they became one and then were birthed into two separate individuals at that point, too.
Okay, better question then, because they do reconstitute and recombine themselves into one person at the very end. But given the fact that you say that they're this, you know, they're birthed from the Forest when the Forest basically killed everybody, we're only in one part of the world right here. What happened to the worldwide devastation and the other points that they touched down? Because it wasn't just in like Japan that a forest grew. It was everywhere. So does that mean that everywhere across the world are these little forest things? Or do you report that the forest is connected via a root system through the ground? So there's obviously more than one forest, but they're all connected.
I would say that they're all connected, like a symbiotic entity being together to the very end, enhancing mankind so that way they are born from tree meat into life. Much like how Agito was when he was born again from that tree. Giant tree nut.
The tree was the tree said, hey, I only need one body, and because you sacrificed the bad guy, I'll use him for nourishment. Here, I'm gonna poop you out via a seed.
Yes. Which, I mean, like, if you look when they pan the tree back, right, when they pan back just before they run away, you see three more giant pods on that tree.
Seriously. Yeah.
So what?
You also see the tree, it looks like it's on fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're in a volcano because Tula's father harnessed the power, literal power of a volcano. And, you know, the people of the future were like, hey, bro, cool story, but we're going to shoot cannons at you to stop you just because we can. Because the whole thing that helps destroy the forest, or at least helps reset the Earth's balance so that way we can go back to the way it was in the past, was let's move this entire mountain, this entire volcano, put it on legs and have it walk across this land over to this area to where Neutral City just happens to be next to this forest, destroy the forest, apparently the only forest in the world, and that will make everything right.
And not only that, you've got jet engines powering this thing, right? They look like airplane engines, turbines.
Oh, yeah.
And these bullets seem to just deflect off of these turbines?
Why not? I mean, like, after they're done, an entire wall arsenal of rockets just, like, pop out of the side of the mountain and shoot at them, not even destroying them all. I mean, like, they have got to be the worst AI-aimed rockets ever. Like, and they do next to no damage. It's like you destroyed like maybe a tenth of their fleet and you have an entire mountain of guns, of cannons aiming at them. How can you miss?
Well, and, you know, fire beats wood. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, man. The plot fell apart for me right there when they're like, we're just going to move a mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what's even better, and this is the other part that really gets me, is Tula takes her talking device out, the Raybon out, and when she takes it out, it goes, we're going to help prevent anyone else from being able to get this, so this is going to be a self-destruct type situation. It's like, all right, so they get out, and they're already right next to the forest anyway. And so the volcano is supposed to erupt, but then in the end, it doesn't erupt. It just shot some lava bombs out of the top and then it said, we're done. Cool.
Well, technically, they blew out a side of the mountain to try to
They couldn't blow out a They didn't blow out a side. They blew out a pimple.
Hey, but you still enough. You got to squeeze all the magma out of it, you know?
Yeah. I don't think
you need
so.
A hole at the bottom of a barrel to drain the water. Just saying. So a hole at the bottom of the mountain to drain the magma out.
I don't think so. Not even close.
Oh man.
It was.
Yeah. And then you have the Olympic level running. This kid does. Hold on tight. I'm going to outrun lava and gravity.
Well, it's not even the Olympic level of running. He is what the $6 million man strives to be. Well, I think we basically covered everything we really can. I don't think there's too much for us to talk about. Oh, there actually is. There's one more thing I want to touch on.
And that right there sums up the movie. Is that it? Nope, there's more.
There's more. Yeah. Why did she throw away the Ray-Ban? I mean, like, obviously someone tried contacting her. It would be of great assistance to those people in Neutral City. It would be of monumental assistance to all of them. Why would you not keep it?
Not only did she throw away something that somebody was trying to contact her with, she had a key to literally most doors. Any door she came across, she could open with that key. And obviously, there are facilities that still have power.
Yes.
Because it was, you know, they had a force field door that she was able to open with her key. You got a skeleton key to the world? Please, let's throw that away.
Yeah. And that basically sums up the movie. It's yeah. Like, I have the key to the world. I don't need this anymore. Chuck.
Goodness.
Okay. All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
You know, judging by how we first started talking about it, low threes. But in all honesty, I think it was a good movie. It wasn't what I was expecting, and it did let me down in the end. Well, the end actually wasn't so bad. The beginning and middle kind of let me down. It subverted my expectation and became extraordinarily predictable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I like even numbers. I'm going to go with 8. I was just debating on between 7 and 8, and yeah, 8.
Okay. All right. I'm good with that.
Guess you're going to give it like a 6 or something.
Actually, I was going to go with the 6. So yeah, I got to go with the 6. It was a good story. It was a good movie. The animation was clean. I was hoping for so much more from it. I mean, like, I got more than what I was originally expecting from it, but at the same time, I was expecting for so much more to happen, and I was just severely let down, unfortunately.
Well, these things happen. I think that next time you tell me that the producers are in there, I'm going to be a little more excited, because this does show promise. How old is the movie? Do we know?
Yeah. I said it at the beginning. It came out in 2006, so it's about 14 years old.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
That doesn't give me much hope. I was like, oh, they'll be able to go forward and do better stuff. No. I would have heard about better stuff by now.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure better stuff has come out by now. I'm pretty sure this was swept under the rug, and they're like, no, that was a mistake. We know. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't mean to add. Actually, I do mean to add, because I'm saying it now. Obviously, this reminded me of an anime that you and I watched a long time ago. Not together, of course, not before we decided to review. I want to say it was Evangelion.
Evangelion? Evangelion, not even close. Yeah. No, not but, even.
Like the premise, no? Because they live behind a wall. Really?
No. Not even close.
Maybe I'm not thinking the right one then.
I should we'll have to smack review you. That.
Across the country, not possible.
I can make things possible.
Teleportation. I built it to smack you.
Exactly. Yeah, no, the one thing, a couple interesting things about Evangelion is you have Evangelion, and then you have Evangelion 2.0, which it's basically the same thing as the first one, except some subtle changes. And there's a whole story and theory and God, hours of your life will be consumed by it. Hours.
Hours. Oh, sounds worthwhile. We might come across that for like, what, the year anniversary?
2 year maybe. Anniversary? We'll three, see. Four, five?
Depending on how many hours it takes, yeah.
Six, something like that.
45 years old. You remember when?
Yeah. All right. That's all the time that we have for today. But before we go, how about you tell us your choice for next week, sir?
Yeah, next week I'm going to choose Cheating Craft. It's a little shorter in the episode length, but I think it'll be worthwhile.
All right, sounds good to me. If you enjoyed this week's choice, or if you've seen next week's choice or any of the previous choices, or if you have a recommendation on what you feel like we should watch, go ahead and reach out to us. You could reach out to us on our Discord. Link for that is going to be in the show notes. Or you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. You can hit us up via email or anywhere else you really can find us. Feel free to reach out to us. Be happy to hear from you. Until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick, and we'll see you later.